Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Right here on Sports Radio 610. It is June 29th. That is the June 29th freestyle by DJ Screw and the rest of the Screwed Up Clique. It is a Houston holiday, baby. We are having holiday type vibes. I hope that you're enjoying your Friday to this point. Again, appreciation to B. Scott, appreciation to Sean Pendergast, both of which whom lent their voice to the program over the last hour. And we will keep it on rolling. Keep it on rolling on the day. All right. Coming right now, I am in day three, depending on how you view it, of my 2024 rewatch of the Texans season. I'm taking my notes to kind of revisit what happened in the Texans season. Of course, I reached my first speed bump of this. Did I say 29th? I meant 27th. Apologies. But yeah, I rewatched and I hit week three on the road, Minnesota Vikings. Lopez, what do you remember from this game?
All right, several things. This was a real eye-opener. Remember the first 2 weeks, we're like, yeah, okay, it's early on the first one. You know,
it was 2-0, right?
There were 2-0. There's going to be some growing pains as you get into your second season with C.J. Stroud. Then you get the Bears game, and you're like, well, that was kind of ugly. Should have probably won by more. But the defense is looking better. Week three is when I went, okay. Maybe there's more we need to be paying attention to.
Yeah.
Because number one, I remember going into that game thinking this is gonna be easy.
That's why I was looking like Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's one of my points. What you just said. Number one, this defense is gonna make life miserable for Sam Darnold, and I don't know how good he is to begin with. And then he ended up just lighting you up.
Well,
you know, just lighting.
And
you up.
I didn't realize how good the defense for the Vikings was.
That's true. That's the second thing.
They were killing it.
That's the one we probably should have known coming in. Brian Flores has bona fides in this league.
I didn't even think about
really,
that.
Really, really good defense coordinator. But at this point, we had not gone to a place where we had a level of belief in Sam Darnold, Mr. Seeing Ghosts himself, bounce around the league.
And it was still early, too, in the NFL season.
It was.
Yeah, but this was the first time I went, okay.
They might be for real.
Yeah, okay. No, well, not just are they for real, but like, is there something we need to start wondering about with this squad?
That's a fair point. You know? Well, going in, there was something that we knew was going to be a little bit of difficulty for the Texans, was that no Joe Mixon, no Damian Pierce in this one. And so Cam Akers with a little bit of a return home of sorts as the running back. And I forgot that this game was not just bad in the aggregate of a 34-7 loss, but it was instant pain. Holding on Cade Stover to start the game, trying to grab Blake Cashman, who was going to have a beeline towards CJ. Right, he timed the snap perfectly, which I don't know what that says about what the Texans were doing. But then also defensive tackle and nose tackle, in fact, Harrison Phillips,
yeah.
His name comes up a few times. He tips a little drop off that's supposed to go to Tank Dell, and then you have a Kamu Grugier-Hill interception.
Where'd he used to play?
Yeah, man, there's a lot of guys that I've already mentioned a couple of them. Another one pops up because if you used to play for the Texans and you wore purple on that day, it was your time to shine.
Didn't Jack used to be saved his life? Was that him?
Oh, was that Kamu Grugier-Hill? Remember we put his hands on him as he's leaving the field? Yeah. Yeah.
He left off on a stretcher, man. I thought it was over. That brother played the next week.
And Easterby saved him.
I mean, I feel like in that instance, God saved him. Easterby was the vessel. But, you know, I get the point. Yeah.
Easterby took the credit for that one.
Yeah. Why am I not surprised? All right, some other things. Outside of like a big outbreaker by Justin Jefferson, like early the D-line was pretty effective on early on, and then you end up with the situation where you start seeing the D-tackles get moved in this one, which was a little frustrating at times. But Sam Darnold was flushed. Like they were applying a level of pressure to him. But
he was nails, though.
He was. He was pretty damn good in this. All right, one of the first things I really wanted to make a big note of. There was a particular play that is funny enough. I teased this coming in from the last break, and B. Scott was like, ooh, Cade Stover. And I was like, oh, so you remember that vividly too, huh?
Yeah.
So there was a particular play where Cade Stover ends up one-on-one with Jonathan Grenard. Again, another one of those Texan to Vikings transitions there. And Grenard steamroll. I'm talking cartoonish steamroll where you end up with Bugs Bunny a centimeter high because he is just laid out flat like paper. That's what Cade Stover looked like. And I don't even know if that's someone's fault in particular as I was looking at it. It was a slide right on the offensive line, it felt like. Cade Stover is on the backside. And, you know, like, Stover just gets killed so quickly that CJ can't get the ball out quickly, which I imagine was what he was looking to do.
Yeah.
And, I mean, CJ is tackled before any of the three routes that are down there even have any level of break. So it was just a great job in my mind by Brian Flores, who brought guys up to the line, and they had like six available. One of them drops out on the side where you have a predominance of players. So you sliding your line to the right, the Texans, does not have as much impact. And then he's also not a known blitzer, Brian Flores. So he just took all of the things that you would think about his time and when you're game planning against him, and he flipped him on his head. He blitzed a lot in this game. And I imagine if you were game planning, a reasonable offensive coordinator goes, I should not expect a whole bunch of blitz, except he brought a whole bunch of it, and this team was not capable of handling it.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, the offensive coordinator, and this is the first time where you go, whoa, why are you putting the tight end in one-on-one like that, you know, against a guy like Jonathan Grenard? And that was an ongoing theme as the season progressed. But in that game, Grenard was amazing. I mean, like, he just destroyed the Texans in that game. And I know you rewatched it, so I know this part. This was the other point I was going to make that was very memorable of that game. I know you're gonna have something on this part.
Maybe.
Laremy Tunsil season began.
Buddy. 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 There were so many, like, illegal formation by Laremy Tunsil. And so many of them also, it wasn't just that there was a foul on on the play. It's that it negated solid or two big plays time and time and time and time again. Like, this was peak frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there was a point in time where you had three straight false starts in this game.
Yes.
In the second quarter. It was disgusting. And one of the things that I had, it was an insane amount of not just, like, procedure penalties. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just Laremy as well, because I can mention him, but there was other
folks. Procedure is just pre-snap anything.
All the way across.
Yeah.
And my thought was, the boys are shook. But then also, does any of that line up with like a lack of belief in the game plan, right? Because one of the things that we got to at some point in the season, and that's why we saw like a switch up in the, you know, the ways that the offensive line was handled. It's one of the reasons why Cole Popovich obviously retains or now has the start of the big time offensive line job, is that at some point late in the season, they made that switch because those guys did not believe in what the offensive line game plan was for Bobby Slowick. Was week three too early for that to creep in? Because it felt like there was a lot of times where these guys weren't locked in, and I wonder how much of that was just they didn't believe in what they were doing.
I actually just here as you bring up the question, I actually don't think it was too early, because you're also seeing tight ends get steamrolled. You're seeing C.J. Stroud not able to get the ball off, receivers not able to even get into the break of their route, and I don't think it was too early now that we look back at it. But that was the week, and boy, the next week was fun on the radio when we're like, all right, what's going on with Laremy? Because Laremy was the focal point of it all, but it was the entire line, which would indicate maybe there's a lack, even if it's not lack of confidence, maybe just uncertainty, you know, a certain amount of uncertainty with what's being called and what they're asked to do.
All right.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
So you mentioned this game was very much a, oh, are they getting big boyed?
Yeah.
Coordinator wise.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one thing that you look Brian Flores to Bobby Slowick. On the other side,
mm-hmm.
Kevin O'Connor.
O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connor is the basketball mm-hmm. analyst. But Kevin O'Connell, thank you, I appreciate that. The head coach and play caller for the Vikings. It did feel like he had a one-up on D'Amico as defensive play caller.
Yeah, it did.
And this is another thing. I don't know that there was a particular play, and I wish should have pulled this one, but there was a particular play where the Texans weren't rallying to the football, and I was like, I don't think I've ever seen
mm-hmm.
Or I might not see that through watching the entirety of the season, a play where the Texans defense does not rally to the football. They might get beat. Guys might, you know, they might give up a big play, but at least they typically all as a team rally to the football. And I was like, oh, they look kind of dejected. Like they did, like maybe they were smelling their own stuff or what have you, but they did not expect to be hit in the mouth in the way of the Vikings.
I think that second part is more of what it is. They didn't expect what we didn't expect. They didn't expect. Aaron Jones had a good game. As I remember it as well, rushing
he sure
the ball.
Did 100 and some yards.
Yeah, and then Aaron Donald doing his thing. I think they were sort of
who?
Just taking a. I mean, Sam Darnold.
Yes. Okay. I legitimately was like, wait, I don't know where you're going.
It probably felt like Aaron Donald was on that defense, to be honest.
And then Sam Darnold was having a good game. I think they were just kind of like the offensive line. They were just like taken aback, you know, take a stun, so to speak.
Now to that point, you mentioned the running game, and I mean. They ran the ball pretty well. This was a 118-yard performance on the ground. Not crazy, but also like pretty efficient in the way that they did. And one of the things about this is we haven't talked a lot about this offseason. How confident are we in this team's ability to stop the run? This game, like they got mauled a lot. And there was only really one explosive,
mm-hmm.
which was later in the game when the game was starting to get out of hand. But still, just – and. The Texans stacked the box in this game far more than any other game. Like 40%, 47% of the time, the box was stacked versus like the next most of the 17 games last year, which was in the 30s. And still, you had a 100-yard game on the ground. Like, how confident are we in this team's ability to stop the run going forward? Because it's largely the same when it comes to trying to stop the run. When you talk about the spine of the defense, it's Foley, it's Settle, it's Mario Edwards. It's Aziz in the linebacking core. It's Henry in the linebacking core. It's largely the same. We haven't really talked about them stopping the run.
Yeah, and that's one of the best things about you rewatching all these games translated to this year. So I think, you know, there is a certain amount of skepticism, and we've talked about it going into the draft even, certainly into the offseason, you know, the interior defensive line, that's where it starts. And then it comes back to, you know, linebacker play. Well, we feel pretty dang good about linebacker play, especially now EJ Speed is in and all that. But the interior defensive line, fair question. Absolutely one of the things that we need to be watching as they go into the training camp and the preseason. But I also feel the fact that the secondary, since that game even, got so much better, it gives you more options up front in your front seven, you know?
I would sure hope so.
Yeah.
And I don't think that they weren't bad as a whole stopping the run last season. I don't want to make it seem like that. However, that was a point where mm-hmm. I think there is the opportunity for growth and development, obviously watching this particular game. I want to take you because I've tried to put in some audio. This game, very easily, you could look at this game as a microcosm of the season. Mm-hmm. Easily. Especially if you wanted to go through and look at how it didn't look good for CJ. However, even in this, the microcosm stands because there were gems within the scrap heap of this, and one of those was this particular play to Nico Collins.
We marked the ball at the 47 in the Viking logo. It's third down and 11 for the Texans at the Viking 47. CJ shotgun, Dare in the backfield, two receivers left. Here's the snap to Stroud. CJ pumping, firing downfield to his left, and Nico with the catch! Running out of bounds inside the 15-yard line. Mark him at the 13. That's the big play they needed.
And you can hear it in Mark's voice. Yeah. That is true. It is a third and 11. You need a big play. And allow me to draw the play up for you so you can kind of see. And Nico Collins lined up to the left. There's a second wide receiver inside. Nico motions in. So he's still the outside guy, but now it's a little bit tighter.
Yeah.
A switch release, so he ends up as now the inside guy. And then from there, he runs kind of what I liked, what I typically refer to as a flag, you know, just kind of like a maybe a corner route of sorts. And this is just a gorgeous football by C.J. Stroud, where he feathers it in perfectly, and it's where, I mean, Nico is making basically a fingertip catch, but it's only
in
him
the right spot.
It's perfectly over his shoulder where only he can get it. And I'm like, there's CJ in the midst of running for his life, in the midst of sometimes making a few, like, not great passes at times. That is CJ Stroud showing you that, hey, the greatness is in there, even in a season and in a game where maybe it wasn't as good as people anticipated and hoped. That was one of those plays that was like, no, no, no. For anybody that's like sophomore slump or whatever, even if you want to get there, CJ still has it.
And that's the microcosm part that you're talking about, you know, in terms of all the problems that he faced, whether it's running the ball and protection and running for his life, which he did a lot of, and getting sacked and getting hit, which he did a lot of in that game. There were still moments where you're like, okay, he's trying to overcome things that are almost impossible to overcome.
Now, the last thing I have for you is also CJ, but this is the other side of it. And I do have a positive spin on the back end of it, so please hear me out. But this was CJ Stroud, unfortunately, turning the football over.
Third down and a long seven across the Houston 32-yard line. Crowd revs up the volume. One back, Stroud in the gun. On third and seven, leg down. Here's the snap from Scruggs. CJ backing up. CJ coming forward, throwing downfield, and intercepted. Cameron Bynum tackled by Dell in Viking territory. Two picks on the day.
By the way, only the second game in CJ's career that he had a multi-interception game, right? Obviously, we talked a lot about that the year prior. But it's kind of interesting because the play itself, or the at least the route combination that you were looking towards, kind of a reverse of that other play. Motion in, Nico Collins switch release, except this time he's running the inside route.
Okay.
But because he's running the inside route like a post, it's too high safety, so it's supposed to be middle open. That should be the place where, you know, Nico's getting the football. CJ throws it behind him, kind of outside. And I was like, why does he make that mistake?
Yeah.
At the same time, Tank Dell is on the other side, the wide receiver, and his route is supposed to kind of go up, maybe up the seam possibly. But he ends up kind of taking this inside drawing into the middle of the field as well.
Bringing the safeties.
And so my thought was, I do wonder, does Tank Dell understand what the intention of that play is? And I don't say that to knock Tank and try to say that he's any level of dumb or anything. I think that this may be, and this is the positive spin I have on it, what is Nick Caley talked about imbuing into his team this year? He wants these guys to understand not just what the play is, but what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
And I think if in that instance Tank Dell understands, we're trying to attack the middle of the field with Nico Collins. His route does not also end up in the middle of the field. He does not drift inside. If anything, he drifts outside to pull that safety further and give CJ a window to throw into. And that's one of the things I'm hoping in a negative play here that I can spin into a positive is that you'll see more of these instances where a play that goes bad and further and basically wipes out the ability to come back in this game is an opportunity for you to make a big play because everybody on the field is working to try and get the play to design the play as designed to work.
Now that's true. I thought you were going to go somewhere else. I thought you were going to go to CJ Stroud, having control at the line of scrimmage and understanding maybe the safety was cheating. We don't know. I mean, you saw it more recently than I did, but you know, maybe the safety was cheating. Maybe there was movement after the snap where if CJ Stroud on the field can maybe make an adjustment, whether it's Tank Dell or in this case, Christian Kirk or whomever, maybe he can make an adjustment that eliminates that.
Yeah. A couple more small things. The fourth sack, the fourth and final sack on CJ, Kenyon Green just got diced up by a nose tackle. Not overpowered, diced up.
Yeah.
And then another one, there was a seam shot that I think CJ was trying to throw up to Dalton Schultz that he just couldn't get his hands on. I was like, that's Christian Kirk next year.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for that. Mm-hmm. So that was week three versus the Minnesota Vikings. And everybody kind of wants this. Everybody's like, when it comes to this game, what I'm trying to hear is Andre Ware.
Here's the give, and they blow the play dead. Looks like a false start on the Texans. Let's find out who.
Before the snap, false start. Offense, number 78. It's a 5-yard penalty. Still first down.
Well, he got it out of the way early. Laramie Tunsil.
It's every week, though. When you're a Pro Bowl player, there's no excuse for that. None.
That was absolutely the field.
8:28 to go, first quarter.
This is my favorite part.
7-0 driving.
Honestly, I don't know why I get upset about it anymore. I should have come to expect it.
That's not week three, though, right? Like, that's not week three, but that's what that was the feeling that everybody had revisiting the Minnesota Vikings game. So now that one's out of the way. Monday, we'll be back with week four, which is a much better feel. But there you go. That is my rewatch, week three Minnesota of the 2024 Texan season. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, we get our confessions going on this Friday. We will do that next.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.